Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Well, it's finally here. I've been waiting all week.
Banger.
DJ Sean Mapes behind the glass.
Hey, this was a special request. Because it is football time in Houston, baby. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass as always. The Texans hosting the San Francisco 49ers tonight. Should we wait till the chorus?
Oh, it's coming.
Paul really wants me to stop talking until the chorus.
I love how he talks like that.
It's football time in Houston.
And we're ready to play. I don't know any of the other lyrics. We got to figure it out.
Yeah, so it is football time in Houston, baby. The last preseason game for the Texans as they host the 49ers tonight. It will be on Thursday Night Football Prime Video. I'm interested to see that broadcast. Interested to see how that flows. This will be the first one on Prime Video, right?
But you're not going to go to the preseason game? Are you not going to go to NRG Stadium?
No,
oh, you
no,
are
going to
go. Okay, cool, because well, I am not.
Oh, you're not?
I have declared freedom from all preseason games. I will watch it on Amazon. I get the broadcast. You get the game experience.
Is that the is this the first one on Amazon Prime, the first game on Amazon Prime?
I think so. Yes, it is.
Pioneers, the Texans are.
Listen, I mean, if you want to start off your Amazon Prime season, who else would you want to have as the first frontier breaker? Of course you want to have the San Francisco 49ers, and of course you want to have a similarly successful franchise, the Houston Texans.
Well, the 49ers have at least, you know, been to a Super Bowl semi-recently. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm actually equally, since I'm a broadcasting nerd, as interested to see the Amazon broadcast, and I'll try to record it. Can you record anything on Amazon? I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see how that team flows, what the music that we weren't crazy about,
right,
what that sounds like. And just a new broadcasting partner will be interesting. But let's talk Texans, shall we?
Yes.
That will be the team on the field hosting the 49ers. The Texans do intend to use this game as quote-unquote kind of a dress rehearsal per Lovie Smith. So we think we're going to see more of those starters. What do you want to see tonight? What are you looking for?
First off, just good. They need it. I want to see this offense look better than it's looked. And I know that some people have seen some things that they've liked in training camp practices, but if you watched that second preseason game against the Rams and felt good about the offense coming out of it, Davis Mills' future, Pep Hamilton as a play caller, I don't know what you were watching. I would like to have some of that sunshine directly injected into my veins, but they need to find a way to actually move the football, and I'm hoping that this time around with some more veterans on the field, it'll work. With Damian Pierce actually in the game, it'll work. Obviously, you want health coming out of it. And look, I realize that, yep, this team is not contending for anything this year. I still want this to be a competent-looking product. I don't want them to be embarrassing like they've been over the course of the last two seasons. And I think it does start with a better performance than what we have seen in training camp with all these short passes and, in, of course, last weekend's preseason game.
I want to see Damian Pierce, another great performance. I want to see much better offense, as you said. And then another, let's call it a competent defensive performance.
They will have veterans in this one,
right,
which should help. We're going to see Jerry Hughes for the first time on the field. Jerry Hughes was a pretty damn good player over
the course
of his career.
Yeah, maybe on the back end of his career, but I'm excited to see what he can do.
Malik Collins will also be in the game, so the defense is going to have a little bit more of the pieces that you're expecting to see on a regular basis this coming season as opposed to just the young bodies out there. I guess this is Ross Blacklock's last chance to save himself a roster spot, but I'm really just going to be focusing almost entirely on the offense, Vanessa. It's, I think, the biggest priority for this team is to come out of it with at least some positive momentum going forward. I just haven't felt it thus far outside of just Damian Pierce highlights. That's it.
Is there an offensive position group that you actually feel okay about? Like, did seeing Damian Pierce give you a little bit of a jump for the running back core? Is there an offensive group that you're like, I think that we're good here? Or is it all a concern? Because last year, if you guys remember, pretty much every position group on the field was a concern, other than maybe special teams.
I like the wide receivers relative to the rest of the roster groups. I think the offensive line is going to need to get together over the course of a long season, and hopefully that they make progress. But generally, this time in the year, offensive lines are struggling across the NFL. No Kenyon Green out there has definitely been, I think, a bummer for the coaching staff just because of the injury that he's trying to get back from. But yes, the wide receivers. How about you?
I think Damian Pierce made me feel it's total recency bias, by the way. Like, this is not an intelligent take, but I think seeing Damian Pierce that first preseason game, I believe, made me feel a little bit better about the running backs. But there are still question marks. We know that they like Rex Burkhead. How does Marlon Mack fit into the equation, and can he look like he did before he was hurt? I think that'll be interesting to see as well. Obviously, the quarterback situation is a question. What are we going to see from Davis Mills? What would Mark improvement of Davis Mills? Sean, I'll start with you because I know that you watch the Texans as well. You're not a passionate preseason game guy, much like Paul.
I'm passionately anti-preseason.
You're anti-preseason. Yeah.
What are we doing? These guys are professionals. Like, 2020, we didn't have a preseason. Guess what? The world didn't end. Well, the world ended, but not because
died,
of no preseason fees.
Not because of that.
Yeah, not because of preseason football. But if I am having to hook my eyes open and be forced to watch this game, I want to see the chemistry between him and the receivers that we all love so much, between Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins, and honestly, Brevin Jordan as well. I want to. That's probably who I'm most interested this year, is just like, what do we got from Brevin Jordan? Because as a rookie, it was kind of like
some flashes.
Yeah, some flashes. Rookie tight ends always a tough position, and so that's who I'm kind of like most interested in seeing will pan out, because it honestly could go either way. Like, I'm excited for Damian Pierce because I can't imagine he's bad. But for Brevin Jordan, there's a chance he's bad.
I really want Brevin Jordan to do well selfishly because he's great with the media. And we need a guy that's great with the media. He's very funny. Do you remember his tuna fish interview?
Did he say, you can't tune a piano, but you can tune a fish?
No. But he was talking about fishing and whatnot. Very entertaining.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So we used to have Whitney Merciless and Justin Reed and those guys that were good with the media. They are not here anymore. They're no longer with us. They didn't die. They're just retired or with other teams. So we need somebody that's good with the media, because Davis Mills is not going to be it.
I don't mind, though, this team having a lot of boring people as long as they're just more confident than they've been. Yeah. I mean, look, the bar is so low this year.
The bar
really
is very
is.
Low.
The bar is even low for tonight. I am a little bummed, I'm not going to lie, that the game is on Amazon, because I really wanted some Spencer Tillmanisms. I want smoke through a keyhole. I want an apple and a roadmap. I want the preseason broadcast team that's unfamiliar with the Texans, and in particular, these Houston Texans, which I would totally understand them being unfamiliar with, to regularly not know who has the ball, who's number X, Y, Z. That's what I want. And the Amazon broadcast is taking that away from me. So now I just want Davis Mills to throw the ball downfield. And apparently he threw this glorious pass downfield in training camp practice a couple of days ago to Brandon Cooks. Ooh, the longest pass of training camp. Huzzah! I need to see this in the game. Please just give me that, because like Sean Mapes, I'm the same way. Vanessa, I escaped. I escaped the flagship, okay? I don't have to go to a preseason game 2 hours before it begins and be there 7 hours later, being the last person in the parking lot, risking potential abduction in the parking lot. Yes, who knows? I'm the last person out of the stadium. For all I know, someone's going to say, hey, who's that guy right there? He looks wealthy because he's so handsome. I'm going to kidnap him and ask for money.
They would get, as my parents used to tell me, if somebody kidnapped you, they'd give you back because you talk too much.
No, I think they'd kill me.
Oh, okay.
Because of that exact reason.
This got dark. Trey Lance, we expect to see under center possibly
not
tonight.
Not kidnapped.
Trey Lance has not been kidnapped, to my knowledge. What do you guys expect to see from Trey Lance in this 49ers offense? A lot of questions still on Jimmy G in that situation.
Hopefully he'll be more exciting than he was last year. Because remember when the Texans played the 49ers, he was in that game and you saw his athleticism, but he had some pretty ugly throws. The ball looked weird coming out of his hand. It was an interesting delivery, I guess, but I mean, he was throwing some footballs that looked like it had been kicked off a tee.
Yeah, one play tray, I believe, is what they call it.
Right. And you know, apparently they worked on his throwing motion this offseason, so he had to completely rework it. But if the 49ers are comfortable to announce him as the guy already, then it means that he must have figured out how to throw the football better. I'm also curious to see if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be released within 24 hours after this game, because it does not sound like there's much of a market for him, or if we'll even see Jimmy Garoppolo on the sidelines. Like, did they even ask him to come to the game?
Yeah. Did he even travel? Is he going to be sitting there giving himself a manicure or, you know, whatever? We'll see. I don't know if he traveled with the team. I believe roster cuts happen in 5 days, so I think they have to get that situation figured out at some point. Could they cut him? Could they trade him?
They might have to pay him like $20 million or something like that for this season. They could keep him. Honestly, I think it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world to keep him, but they probably want to have a little bit of cap flexibility over the course of this coming season in case something bad happens.
In case something bad happens, like getting kidnapped.
Right.
Which apparently is going to happen.
They need to have about $20 million of cap space to save me. I was doing the preseason postgame show and was kidnapped in this weird fantasy I have.
Yeah.
And ransom money comes out of the salary cap?
Yeah. That's how it works.
Don't get kidnapped.
You can't pay ransoms unless there's enough salary cap space.
Getting weird on a Thursday. Don't get kidnapped. Just get better rates on your home insurance with TGS. Listen to me if you own your home. I know you pay too much. You know you pay too much. But you probably don't shop for better home insurance because it's a hassle. No more, my friends, thanks to TGS Insurance. Just get out your phone. Text the word money to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your address. You send it back. And within 15 seconds, bada bing, bada boom, like that, you have a better rate. It sounds like a scam because it's so easy, but it's not. Their online rating is almost perfect, and their average customer from last year is saving over $870. I know you don't like to shop for it. I know it can be a hassle, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. Text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Altuve has 9 leadoff home runs this year. As he drills one for number 10, Jose Altuve up on the train tracks. Train number 27 has just left Union Station. It's 1-0 Astros.
I love having that guy in Houston. Jose Altuve with another homer last night. He, of course, up against his best friend Carlos Correa. It was cool seeing those two interact. But the Astros did get the win last night, 5-3. It seemed a little dicey maybe towards the end.
Oh, my God.
I was watching the game, sweating bullets at a bar.
Rafael Montero gives me the anxiety to the point that I thought, you know what? Maybe I will take a mental health day on Thursday if Rafael Montero isn't able to close things down. I don't know what's going on with him right now. All I know is this is exactly what I saw out of Rafael Montero in Seattle. And because Ryan Pressly wasn't available and because Stanek had been used the night before, they were kind of hamstrung as far as what they could actually do in the bullpen. But yeah, that got a lot more dicey than it needed to be. And it's unfortunate because the lasting memory of a game that they won against a team that is in playoff contention is that, as opposed to maybe what you saw from Altuve. Trey Mancini hitting a 2-run home run. Someone suggested, Vanessa, on Reddit, that perhaps when Trey Mancini hits a home run, we could give him the nickname 7-1 Trey.
It doesn't flow. Good. I don't like that one.
I'm glad that you also said no to that.
Mancini Mafia, I think, is better, but I don't know if we can say that without sounding a little cultural appropriation-y.
It's very appropriation of the Italian culture, yes. Especially if you do a gabagool.
Yeah.
You know, that would be very bad. So that was something that someone proposed. And also, I mean, the thing that spoiled the most probably is a memory that you had of Framber Valdez, who once again has been damn consistent this season after a postseason where he was not.
Yeah. Look, I'm not worried about the Astros in general. I think that when you see them beating teams that are you know, the Twins are fine, but it's not anything earth-shattering, but it's good to see them, as least it seems to be on the right track. Very much on the right track, Framber Valdez,
yeah.
A franchise record 21st quality start, straight quality start. He passed Mike Scott for that record.
Ooh, Mike Scott.
A little throwback, actually.
Yeah. I wish I was able to find a Mike Scott jersey online. I could not.
You can't? Really?
There's one, but naturally it's an extra large. Sorry.
Yeah, he likes them.
I'm in shape.
He likes them tighter, as we know.
Yeah.
Are there any Schmedium Mike Scott jerseys,
no Schmedium
Sean?
Mike
do you think
Scott
we can find
jerseys.
A Schmedium Mike Scott
no
jersey?
No Ledium Mike
Bowl?
Scott jerseys.
No Schmedium?
No.
I'll check Mitchell and Ness.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they don't have them on Mitchell and Ness. No, like that was the jersey I wanted to find. Like I have a Mario Ellie Rockets jersey. I thought to myself, okay, well, let's go. Like, let's really be hipster jersey guy. Framber was Framber was very good last night, and you are excited by the consistency that he has shown this year, 21 straight quality starts. I guess my big question is, has this regular season made you feel more confident in him come postseason? Because that was the problem for Framber Valdez in the World Series against the Braves. He wasn't himself. He looked good against Boston. In the ALCS, but against the Braves, something was going on.
I think I feel more confident because I think he is handling his habit of being emotional better. It seems like he's taking it out on pitching instead of, if you remember in the past, it seemed like he would get in his own head. I mean, that was a big storyline, actually, with Luis Garcia, too, is just being a very emotional pitcher and a very emotional player. So I actually feel better about Framber. What about you?
So I took a look back at all the starts that he's made this season, and I wanted to check, okay, well, who has he pitched against? How many games has he pitched against, like, really good teams? And he's pitched against, I would say, playoff-contending teams, but outside of one start against the Yankees and one start against the New York Mets, in both of those starts, he performed pretty well. In the Yankees game, it wasn't his fault that the Astros lost. They blew that one late. He goes six innings with seven strikeouts along the way, three earned runs. Against the Mets, the next start he made, brilliant. Five strikeouts, two walks, and six hits in eight innings of scoreless work against New York. So those were nice starts. Other than that, though, has he been tested by the kind of teams that you will likely have the Astros seeing from the National League? That is the Atlanta Braves. That's the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Mets were one, but maybe the Dodgers and Braves are on a class above those two, the Mets. So they played. He's started against Seattle twice, Chicago twice, the White Sox, Minnesota, Toronto, and Cleveland twice.
So you don't feel like he's really being tested because he's not going up against the best teams in the league?
That's just my only question.
Sure.
I don't.
I think it's legit.
I don't think that he has proven that he is going to be better this time around in the World Series. What a first world problem to have. I feel like had he done this against the Dodgers or something like that, or the Braves, which is unfair to him, he can't control who he starts against, that maybe I'd be feeling a little bit better about it. But I think we should wait and see with Framber Valdez come postseason time if he's able to shake whatever the hell was happening with him last year in the World Series.
Let's talk about the bullpen, because I, not that long ago, feel like I was praising the bullpen regularly on the pre- and post-game show, and they've been really dicey as of late. We really saw it in Atlanta, the bullpen affecting the game in a negative way, and what are your thoughts on the bullpen? Do you trust them? Do you think this is just a little bit of a slump for the bullpen?
I saw Granato tweet this last night that he no longer feels good about the bullpen when they're out there. And he had at one point earlier this year, and I guess he didn't think he was ever going to be saying that. I responded asking the question, does anyone ever really feel good about their bullpen? Generally, I don't, even if the statistics say, yeah, you're fine. They're good. I always have this feeling I can't quite explain of unease whenever a bullpen's in there. So I'll say this about Montero in particular. They have to find a way to make sure that he is in no high leverage situations come postseason. And with the way that they have been using him lately, I don't think that they are starting to feel that way. They
right.
seem to think like everything's fine. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. I hope that the next time around that we see Rafael Montero in a situation that's like the sixth or the seventh. Right now, it's not happening. And either you put him in those spots and see if he can work his way back, or you just send him to a rehab assignment, you know,
yeah.
Like, or let him clear his head or put him on the injured list or something like that.
In today's version of Ow, that sounds like it hurts. According to Julia Morales on Twitter, Chaz McCormick dislocated his finger, but the doctor was able to pop it back into place. He'll need a couple of days.
Have you ever dislocated anything?
No.
Me neither.
No, it sounds incredibly painful.
I wonder.
I haven't do you guys know I'm double jointed?
So it looks God, you're going to do this again.
It looks
yes,
like.
I know.
Our friends on Twitch.
Twitch.tv/ESPN975. No, I can't.
Sean, do you like this?
No.
It's pretty gnarly looking.
Yeah, I'm not looking.
I used to do it for my, do you know on the first day of school when they would be like, hey, what's your fun fact about you?
What's your talent?
What's your talent? I'd say, I'm double jointed.
Yeah,
no big deal.
I don't want to see that.
Paul's not a fan of it.
I just watched a scene in House of the Dragon last night again, there's one scene in particular that was very disturbing. But double jointed is close to that. I don't want to see things bending in awkward directions.
Right,
McCormick coming back from this, you wonder, especially when this outfield has as little depth as it has, is he going to be the level of player that he was before, which wasn't really like that high of a level? I don't know. Yikes, man. They've really run shallow on that outfield depth. And while Mancini did have the home run last night, I mean, you saw that throw that he made home on the sac fly from left field. Like, if double bounced it home. Outfield depth, not good. And again, James Click failed in not getting an extra person in that outfield.
Do you think Alex Bregman's going to be the AL player of the month?
Yes. You see his numbers?
Hey, we've got a lot of nicknames for him. Bregnant is a great one. The guys at Apollo use whenever he hits a home run. I'm Bregnant. Big Dad Energy, because he's been great since he had knocked his son.
And it's a playoff of BDE.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Big Dad Energy. Nothing else would we say with
Big
an acronym
Dad Energy.
Like that. Yes. So if you take a look at his numbers over the course of this past month, Alex Bregman has a 1.125 OPS. That is over 0.100 points higher than anyone else in baseball that has played in enough games, because George Springer was at the top, but he's only played in 6 games this month. He is 0.101 ahead of Aaron Judge. So he's got to be the AL player of the month, and it's great to see him playing this way. Kyle Tucker's been playing really well of late, too, picking up the slack where Jordan Alvarez has been, you know, something's up. You
this
know
team
what.
Is better when Alex Bregman is good. And it was hard to watch him go through, quite frankly, not only the injury in the past, but multiple slumps, because he just didn't look like himself. I don't know if he's been working with Alex Cintron, the hitting coach, with his swing or adjusting something, but it's definitely working. And like you said, with Yordan Alvarez, look, I think the Astros are missing the bat of Michael Brantley more than we probably talk about. It's good to see Alex back on track. All right, coming up, it's our NFL segment. We're going to go around the league, and we got a lot to talk about, but first, PG's going to tell you about PIN.
The Passive Investor Network, a full-service real estate investment firm. Guess what? We're all looking to make money, and these guys are going to be able to help you with a plan that works for you and you alone. You sit down with a portfolio advisor, go over your long-term goals, and they're going to help you reach them over the next 5 years through real estate investments. And they do pretty much all the work for you, like finding the parts of town and houses to invest in, then doing the construction for you with 20-plus years of experience on the job. You get daily updates of that property with pictures in the Passive Investor Network app. Once the construction's done, then they find the tenants for you and do the property management. You own the house and they take all the hard work out of it for you, taking the headache out of the investment process so you can invest passively to reach those goals. Visit their website today, passiveinvestor.net. Again, passiveinvestor.net. Tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you to schedule a free consultation with a portfolio advisor. Did I say free? Passiveinvestor.net. Tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you. Passiveinvestor.net for the Passive Investor Network.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
You hear the music, you know what that means. 14 days until the regular season kicks off. Hell yeah, brother. We got some preseason action tonight, but we get the real thing in 14 days. Paul Gallant, our jersey consultant.
Number 14 is a bit of a tricky one because the first one that came up was Don Hutson, who was a wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers from 1935 to 1945. He's considered to be the best. He's considered to be, check that, like the first great wide receiver. You also, if I'm not mistaken, have one Dan Fouts.
Oh.
Former quarterback for the San Diego Superchargers. San Diego Chargers.
Was that their real song?
Oh, you've never heard that? Oh, yeah. The San Diego Chargers used to have like the best theme song ever. And it sounded like that. There
All
you go.
Right. 14 days. We're at exactly 2 weeks. It's going to be exciting, and I cannot wait. In the meantime, let's talk about some of the biggest stories around the league. John Lynch had a long answer when he was asked about what the timeline looks like for Jimmy G and if they would release him. When they would release him if there's no trade. His first words were, yeah, you know, I think we're getting pretty close.
It's unfortunate for San Francisco that bleep didn't hit the fan for another team because they could maybe have gotten like a fourth round pick, a third round pick for Garoppolo or something like that. I think that Garoppolo is better than either of the quarterbacks that are currently vying for a job in Seattle. I think you could make a case that he's better than the two quarterbacks that are battling it out in Carolina as well right now, although Baker Mayfield did officially win that job.
Well, Matt Corral's out for the season. Rookie, right?
Right, and of course, Mayfield beat Sam Darnold. So, I don't know where he would end up. Seattle seems like the logical choice, but I don't think Seattle wants to actually pay anything to get Jimmy Garoppolo.
And
so,
he's got a $20 million contract. $20 million contract, right?
It's a lot to eat if he's not going to play. That's for sure, yes.
Okay, in random, you told me about this before the show. I know that they're rivals, but I don't get it. The Saints are trolling the Falcons for their 28-3 loss.
Yes, to the Patriots in Super Bowl 51 that was right here. It is weird that Saints fans have co-opted the Falcons blowing a 28-3 lead more than the New England Patriot fans have. Like, if you take a look at just the way that 28-3 has been used of late, like, it's always involving the Saints. Whether it's a Mardi Gras parade or it's an escalator
right
at the Saints facilities that says that this elevator is 28.3 times faster than other escalators.
This is at the Nola Girl on Twitter. Love my petty team. And it reads, our new express escalators will get you to your seats 28.3 times faster than before. That may not be an exact number, but there is something about 28 and 3. That's just lame.
I kind of like it. I respect it. They are so petty and hate the Falcons so much that they can hold this over them forever. Because the Saints have a Super Bowl, and while they might not have Drew Brees or Sean Payton anymore, they have not blown a 28-3 lead in a Super Bowl before.
Okay, so when they end up not being good, they have to stop doing this, right? Because you can only troll like this if you're a really good team.
Or if the Falcons are really, really bad, which it seems like will be the case. I think you could do this in a rivalry. And I think of all the rivalries across the NFL, no one talks about this one because it involves a fan base in the Saints that is relatively small. Because New Orleans isn't the biggest place. Of course, there's a lot of people across Louisiana that like the Saints. And of course, right here in our own backyard. And then, of course, in Atlanta, you have a kind of a casual sports town at best. It's a underrated hatred between those two teams. So I actually respect this from New Orleans. Continue to pander to your fan base by talking trash about the Falcons.
They definitely, if we had a petty segment today, would make our petty segment. Cowboys left tackle Tyron Smith suffered a bad injury per Ian Rapoport, an avulsion fracture of the knee, and he is out for the year, safe to say.
I saw last night that he had torn his left hamstring, which means that he would be out for a couple of months, but an avulsion fracture, that's the same injury that a much younger Mekhi Becton suffered with the New York Jets. So that's a huge blow for the Cowboys. It feels like it's been a while since they've been able to roll into a year with their offensive line 100% healthy. And remember, it wasn't that long ago that everyone sort of agreed on a consensus perspective, that the Cowboys have the best offensive line in the National Football League. So, yeah, not good. Definitely not good for Dallas.
Not good, indeed. Jane Slater, my girl that works for NFL Network covering the Cowboys, was talking about some of the possible alternatives, free agents, whatever moves that they want to make. But we're seeing Stephen A. Smith and Jerry Jones on ESPN right now. You have to think Cowboys fans are not happy about this.
If you are a Cowboys fan, would the fact that Micah Parsons is going to be on Undisputed with Skip Bayless every single Tuesday make you happy?
Every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday.
This season?
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, shout out to Micah Parsons' agent. That's actually like a really good deal if he wants to be a broadcaster after his playing career.
Also, Micah Parsons is hilarious.
Yeah, he is funny.
So I'm actually looking forward to this.
Me too.
He's rather unfiltered. I hope that he maintains that unfiltered approach. Also, if you're a Cowboys fan, does this make you happy in the wake of the Tyron Smith news? Kevontae Turpin. Remember that guy who called in yesterday? Like, how about them Cowboys? Oh, Kevontae Turpin. Well, Kevontae Turpin has apparently been working with the first team offense in practice after having a kickoff return and a punt return for a touchdown, both of which were untouched against the Los Angeles Chargers. Does that make you happier?
If you're a Cowboys fan?
Kevontae Turpin!
It's a great name.
Kevontae.
Jacoby Brissett is once again finding himself filling in for a quarterback in a rather strange manner. This may be the strangest manner ever, even more odd than the Andrew Luck retirement 3 years ago yesterday, by the way. He was asked about filling in for Deshaun Watson and filling those shoes. Here's what Brissett had to say.
Is it hard to not try to be Deshaun when you're out there?
Oh, it is very easy for me not to be Deshaun. Trust me.
There is shade in that. There is am I wrong?
No.
Massive shade in that.
It's a pretty funny line, but it's also funny to hear the reporters laughing there as well. Will they laugh at anything Deshaun Watson says this season?
They probably shouldn't. But did Deshaun ever say anything funny in a press conference?
No. No.
Like, not that he was.
I think he's capable.
Boring, but he just wasn't.
He was boring.
You know, the thing that he did that was really interesting was one time when he broke down that play for all of the media. Do you remember that?
I remember that
too. You probably weren't here, but it went viral because he explained it so well.
I remember it, and I was sort of like, okay, cool. Like, he's such a great offensive mind. Like, that was, I remember the narrative that took the mean internet streets after that happened. And I was like, okay, I mean, he explained everything to us, but it doesn't make his play on the field necessarily better.
It was Aaron Reese that had asked a good question about a play, and I think Deshaun's mindset on a play, and then Deshaun took him through that, and that caused a lot of conversation, and everyone was praising him. But yeah, he never said anything like overly funny.
No.
So I don't think there's going to be anything to laugh at.
I just wonder, because you know reporters, there's usually nothing to laugh at, but generally when you're talking to somebody and they say something even like remotely amusing, there will be a chuckle storm that takes place. Funny to hear that from Jacoby Brissett. I wonder if he really thought through what he was going to say. Like, it doesn't take much for me to not be Deshaun Watson, if that was referencing to the off-the-field stuff.
I think he was being self-deprecating, but when you're talking about Deshaun Watson, no one thinks football first with Deshaun Watson anymore.
Right.
He is a true crime story that's walking around that
Absolutely.
Also plays football. So, yeah, I don't think he was trying to mention the 24 sexual assault allegations on the starting quarterback of the Browns, but it makes it for a funny quote. It's easy for me not to be Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it should be easy for all of us. According to Mike Garafolo, the Dolphins had to cancel their joint practice today with the Eagles because a large amount of the guys on the team have a stomach bug. They were up all night vomiting. They thought it might be food poisoning, but they confirmed it wasn't. It is a stomach bug. That's a bummer. After so many years of COVID, you can't have a joint practice because of a stomach bug?
Soft? Can I say that? Is it too soon?
They're vomiting all night. What do you mean soft?
Yeah, practice in the vomit.
Practice in the vomit.
Yeah.
That is...
That's a real football guy.
Congratulations on that being the grossest thing you've ever said on this show.
What? I mean, I've practiced, you know, with... in a field where there was no bathroom, so I had to, you know, go on the field. I've puked on a field before. I've seen puke on a field before. Oh, it's a little virus. What's wrong with a little virus? That's never shut a country down before.
We used to go my cross-country team used to go on trips before the season started during the summer. And I got food poisoning one time when we were in the Dells in Wisconsin. And we had a 7-mile run, and I discovered the food poisoning on the run. And the amount of times that I had to rid myself of
the
bodily
toxins.
Fluids.
The toxins.
It was coming out every which way. It was the scene from Bridesmaids where she stops and she's in the wedding dress and she's like, it's happening. It's happening. It happened. Yeah, 7-mile run in the summer heat with food poisoning is the worst time
of
my life. You
got through the 7-mile fun run.
I did. You know what? Am I tougher than an NFL player used to say?
Clearly those two teams, that's for sure. Ooh, a little illness.
I threw up the night before a science fair in 7th grade.
Hell yeah, dude.
There we go.
Fighter mindset.
Jordan game.
Yeah.
Sean, what was
Jordan
your science fair project?
It was something about different liquids and how much light shines through the other side.
I gave no effort to my science fair project.
I was pouring milk into glasses and putting a flashlight on the other side. It wasn't that
incredible.
Much thought.
I think it's riveting. Coming up on Vanessa and Galat, we do have some injury news as well as possibly a new addition to the Lakers. That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Galant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And we do have a Woj bomb from this morning. Oklahoma City Thunder 7-footer Chet Holmgren is going to miss the entire 2022-2023 season with a Lisfranc injury to his right foot. Of course, the number 2 pick in the NBA draft suffered the injury defending LeBron James in the crossover pro-am.
It's LeBron's fault.
Conspiracy theory, Paul is here.
Not even a conspiracy theory. It's LeBron's fault. Let me do a little wind toast here, Vanessa.
Okay. Well, why is that?
Chet Holmgren played college basketball in the state of Washington. Chet Holmgren didn't probably want to go play in Seattle, seeing as he's from the east side of the state, Seattle, on the west side. Although I think he's actually from Seattle. Just keep working with me. LeBron James!
He's from Minnesota.
There you go. Professor Mapes.
Shut up!
He played high school basketball with Jalen Suggs.
Damn it. I was really going. I was on a roll. LeBron James decides he wants to play in Seattle. Chet Holmgren decides that he wants to play against LeBron James. What is happening?
What is going on?
I guess we'll find out. Broken Lisfranc.
There you go.
Can I give you another conspiracy theory?
Sure.
All right. Let me open my third eye real quick. So this crossover game with the W happened.
Wow, weird.
It's Jamal. Jamal Crawford puts it on. So Craw.
Right. It happens every year in Seattle. Yes, because there's no basketball. Because the Thunder were stolen from Seattle.
Wait, so a Thunder superstar got hurt playing a game in Seattle, where the game that Chet Holmgren was playing in had to get stopped in the second quarter because this court was unsafe. Huh.
What? Where does Starbucks fit into this?
Howard Schultz probably put in money on the crossover at some point.
Jordan Schultz was probably covering it.
There we see. So this is Seattle's 15 or 20 year.
Guys, that's it.
Conspiracy to harm the OKC Thunder.
We don't talk about that. No, that, see, I can't allow you to get away with saying that, Sean. You know, as someone who lived in Seattle, you can't be sharing our secrets.
You lived there for 2 years.
It was LeBron's.
It's like me saying, as somebody that lived in Cincinnati,
it was LeBron's fault. Okay, there's nothing to do with Seattle. You don't put that energy on us. We didn't do a damn thing.
An Oklahoma City person.
Where
are you from?
I'm a Sonics fan.
No, you're not.
Massive Sonics fan.
Give me a break.
I mean, they don't exist, so it's easy to be a Sonics fan.
Hypothetically, you're a Sonics fan.
If they were there, you'd love them.
If they were there, I would be a Sonics fan.
This is a bummer. Look, you hate to hear about anybody getting injured, but one of the young superstars that was expected to do great things and add to that core in Oklahoma City, that's a bummer.
Aren't you kind of thankful, though, that he didn't fall to the Rockets?
Yeah.
I mean, in a weird way. Obviously, you feel bad for him.
His body is enough to turn me off. He's too skinny.
Phrasing.
Look, he's like even skinnier than Durant was.
Yeah, it's one of those types where you look at him and you wonder, okay, is this going to last? Because it just feels like a skyscraper in the breeze without that netting that it has around the exterior of it, so that when, you know, the wind like makes it sway back and forth, it doesn't fall all the way over. Because all these skyscrapers now, they have that stuff. Did you know that?
What?
Oh, I thought they had nets. Oh, no, that's in China where they have nets to keep people from jumping out of them.
Yeah.
So one thing that's interesting with Chet Holmgren, his listed weight is the exact same listed weight as Steph Curry, who's like 9 inches shorter than he is and isn't like big by any means. And so hopefully, if you're to spin this in the positive, hopefully this is like a red shirt year for him and he can like at least put on some upper body weight, even with a broken foot. You can still... You know,
do you guys remember Gordon Hayward, how skinny he was? And then when he, I think it was really when he was with the Celtics. I mean, he beefed up.
Yeah, he got, and got a new hairdo.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He plays in a way, though, where I'm not sure that beefing up is necessarily going to be good for him.
Like, Holmgren?
Holmgren.
Well, I'm not saying he needs to be Shaq out there. Right, he just needs to crack 200 pounds.
Right. And you're going to get, aren't you going to get hurt easier if you, if somebody can knock you over with a straw?
That seems to be sound logic. I think a lot of people generally assume that skinny people are more likely to get hurt. I do think it's skinny cyst for all my medium and medium brethren out there. You know, it is a unfair burden that we must carry with us. I feel like because we've seen guys have feet injury before, that this isn't necessarily like a, hey, oh no, it's not going to work out for Holmgren. Because Joel Embiid has had multiple surgeries on his right foot, at least two, if not more. So it's worked out for Embiid, who is a guy that was kind of the opposite way as far as taking care of himself. It's a guy who let his weight get away from him a couple of times, and at times has looked like he doesn't have enough stamina while he's been in the NBA.
Other NBA news, according to Shams Charania, the Jazz are trading Patrick Beverley to the Lakers for Talen Horton-Tucker. Adrian Wojnarowski said that Stanley Johnson is in that as well. Deal could be finalized as soon as Thursday, says Woj.
I can't wait, because if Russell Westbrook is still in Los Angeles this coming year, they hate each other. I mean,
go
back to when the Rockets were playing the Thunder in the playoffs. I want to say this was 2014, maybe it was 2015, where Patrick Beverley was going hard at Russell Westbrook defending him and brushed into his knee. And Westbrook, I think, assumed that no one was going to try and cover him in that spot of the court because I think it was around midcourt. And Westbrook like had some sort of knee injury afterwards. Not a serious one, but enough of one where it was always going to be, he's always going to be out for blood with Patrick Beverley. There was also another moment recently where Rockets Clippers, when Westbrook was now with the Rockets and Beverley was on the Clippers, where Russell Westbrook tried to hit a three-pointer with about like 15 seconds left or something like that, and he bricked it. And then after Westbrook fouled out on the other end of the court, while the player for the Clippers was shooting free throws, Patrick Beverley's in the background making fun of the way that Russell Westbrook shoots from outside. And Westbrook got mad and called him trash while he had been ejected from the game from the sidelines. So now those two are going to be on the same team together. And also, one of my favorite players is going to be a Laker now, and I don't
Who?
Like that.
Oh, Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
Do like him. I think I started liking him more after he was on, what was it?
First ESPN?
Get Up. He started the media tour with Patrick Beverley. Speak for your pizza. Yeah, I liked him a lot more after that. And his hatred for, was it CP3?
Yes. You're a fan of his broadcasting career.
I'm a fan of his broadcasting career. I am not I'm not like a Patrick Beverley stan. Which, by the way, 25 seconds ago, Woj tweets, the trade is complete. Horton Tucker and Stanley Johnson join the Jazz.
Patrick Beverley as a Laker bums me out, man. I hate it when players that I enjoy go to a team I dislike. Because I still want to root for them.
Yeah, how do you handle that?
You really can't. Like, there are certain teams for me, if the player that I rooted for goes to that team, I'm like, yeah, sorry. For now, at least, you're dead to me.
I had a hard time. My dad was a Packers fan because there was no team in Indiana when he was growing up. I had a hard time with Favre to the Vikings. Definitely had a hard time with Manning to the Broncos. That was really tough because I don't hate the Broncos, but I don't like the Broncos.
Gotcha. Vinatieri to the Colts was disgusting.
Worked out for the Colts, but yes.
Well, only one Super Bowl as opposed to three. On top of that, Rajon Rondo joining the Lakers was also a bummer. Johnny Damon to the Yankees when I was a Red Sox fan back in the day, that was bad. Yeah, you can't really do it. So I guess for me, Patrick Beverley's been on so many teams of late, I guess you can't really like say like, oh, well, he's going to be a super important Laker. Plus, the Lakers are low-key a joke at this point in time. But yeah, this is a bummer. I am officially off the Patrick Beverley bandwagon.
Really?
Yeah, I got
that
it.
Quickly? Just because he's with the Lakers? Lakers?
Yeah, I can't root for him anymore. No.
We have a call. Melvin would like to talk about Chet Holmgren. Melvin.
What's up, Melvin?
Thanks for calling the show.
Yeah. Do you think Chet's going to end up kind of like Yao Ming? I was hurt because, you know, he's skinny, but, you know, those feet can't stand all that skinniness, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, he has good coordination, but he needs to beef up. And usually tall guys like that don't usually last long in the league. I'll hang up and listen.
Great point, Melvin. Thank you.
Well, Yao Ming did have a little mass to him. Like, Yao Ming wasn't a complete beanpole.
Yeah, he was like 300 pounds.
Yeah, he's a big
dude. I never thought of him as being, like, overly, like, really skinny.
Yeah, no, he had some mass to him. Yeah. I mean, he weighs what?
310 pounds.
110 pounds more than Chet Holmgren?
Yeah.
Very large.
I mean, he's 7'6", so he's probably a little taller than Chet Holmgren,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's half inch.
But, or yeah, 310 pounds. Like, yeah, he's a big dude.
I will say what was troubling, though, with the Chet Holmgren injury is that it looked like it happened on a LeBron drive where LeBron was going, like, 40% of regular season speed.
Yeah.
that is troubling that it... He got hurt literally the way you think that someone built like
well,
him would get hurt.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, you just throw something at him and he falls over. How is that sustainable in the league? I didn't want the Rockets to even think about bringing him in for that reason.
Yeah.
And I'm from Indiana, so usually the lanky white guys
are
tight, but I didn't want it.
Yeah, the everyone on a JV basketball team looks like Chet Holmgren in Indiana. And on varsity, actually.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is troubling that, like, again, literally, like, the worst-case scenario, like, happened before he actually played a basketball game, like, a real basketball game. And also, it probably sucks that, like, probably not going to get a lot more pro-ams anymore.
Yeah.
Not going to get a lot of NBA players playing in pro-ams.
Right.
So, yeah, hopefully Chet Holmgren can be, like, decent. I mean, because he has a lot of skills. He's a very interesting player. But
I mean, he went second overall.
Yeah.
We're all rooting for him.
Yeah, but it also sucks.
Yeah, it definitely does. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking a little Texans tonight, plus the schedule release that you probably didn't even know happened. That's next.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.